Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Before we get started, support for this podcast comes from Boost with Facebook, whose podcast, Boost My Business with David Fisher, features unique perspectives and insight from business leaders and small business owners. Hear stories and anecdotes about businesses just like yours. Gain insight on what it takes to grow a business and learn from both the mistakes and triumphs of others. Download Boost My Business wherever you get your podcasts. That's Boost My Business Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Taylor Davis, joined by McKenna Kelly, here to talk all things gymnastics. We've got another great episode for you. Bet you didn't expect I'd say that one. We are going to be talking about a few different storylines that have come out in regards to both collegiate and elite gymnastics, and we have such a phenomenal guest. I am so excited. We are going to be joined by the 2004 all-around Olympic champion. You know her, you love her. Carly Patterson is going to be joining us. This is so exciting for us to get to talk to her. McKenna obviously has a great relationship with her, so we are honored that she has agreed to come on our show and talk a little bit. And of course, we're going to dive into the meet of the week and talk all about UCLA in their meet against Utah. I have so many notes on that one. I am pumped to talk about it. So it's going to be a great episode. A little belated, but gotta give a special birthday shout out to my girl McKenna, who just turned the big 2-3. How was your birthday?
It was good. It was as good as it could have been. I felt really loved. My older sister's birthday was on Easter Sunday, so I made a homemade cake, and then I made another homemade cake for myself, which was really fun. Getting into baking during this time, which also isn't a good idea considering the gyms are closed right now, but it's been really fun. I had a really good birthday. Thanks for asking.
Good. Quarantine birthdays, man. I just feel like when we get back to normal, anyone that had a birthday during this time should just go ahead and like claim that it's their birthday again and celebrate correctly. Yeah. You know?
That's my plan too. I'm redoing it.
Okay, deal. Well, we are going to dive right on into the stories for today. Don't want to make you guys wait too long for Carly, but you know we've got to tell you about our amazing sponsors. Today's episode is once again brought to you by our friends at Bet Online. Now, I did another podcast with some other hosts from the Believe Network, and it was four guys, and they have been dabbling in this Bet Online, and you know how competitive they get.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they are loving it. They spoke so highly of it and are having so much fun. So maybe everyone out there should give it a try. While you're waiting out this weird time at home, you can still have some fun betting at betonline.ag. And I know what you're thinking. There's no sports, NBA, NHL, MLB, it's all kaput. How in the world are we going to be betting right now? But they are getting quite creative over at BetOnline. They still have hundreds of places to wager, including their online casino. And they are also doing different betting on American Idol, the elections, the spelling bee, plenty of fun to be had. So if you use our promo code MYPOD100, they're going to give you a welcome bonus on your first deposit. So all you have to do is go to betonline.ag and use the promo code MYPOD100, make a deposit, whatever you feel comfortable with, and then they're going to give you a bonus, a little extra money to play with. So go have fun. Let us know how you fare. All right. First topic I want to discuss is a follow-up to something we talked about last week. The Honda Award finalists had been announced. It was a stacked group. Lexi Ramler, Maggie Nichols, Kyla Ross, and Trinity Thomas. And the award has been announced, and it officially goes to Kyla Ross. And honestly, I was going to say no surprise, but I would have said that if any of these girls got it. Like, they were all so deserving, and I could have seen it going to any of them. But UCLA senior Kyla Ross will be the Honda Sport Award winner. The Honda Sport Award has been presented annually by the CWSA for the past 44 years to the top women athletes in 12 NCAA sanctioned sports. And it signifies, quote, the best of the best in collegiate athletics. And honestly, I mean, does that not describe Kyla, especially after watching UCLA in the meet of the week this week? This girl, she did represent collegiate gymnastics. I think all four of these finalists did in their own way, but Kyla is just, she's a rock star. And I think this was so well deserved.
Kyla is top of the line. And you know what's funny is when you think of gymnasts like Kyla Ross and even Maggie Nichols, I think differently of them. For whatever reason, Kyla is just, they're both the pinnacle. They are both like the goat of college gymnastics, but I feel like they've done it in their own ways. They've kind of led their own routes differently. I don't know. It's kind of hard to put into words what I'm trying to say, but I feel like Kyla is more, geez, I really don't even know what I'm trying to say here.
I'll try and help you out here. Because when, you know, we've watched both Oklahoma and UCLA, and yeah. I think what everyone can agree with, anyone who watches collegiate gymnastics, you could watch these two and know they are in a level of their own. There is top tier talent in collegiate gymnastics, and then there's like phenoms in collegiate gymnastics. Yeah. And these two are that. Maggie and Kyla just exude confidence and ability, but they have difference in their style. There is a difference in their technique. And I would say Kyla is a bit more finessed. You watch her and it is like, and we're going to break this down because I just was blown away by this girl in the Utah meet, but she just, when she performs, it is like God intentionally made this girl to do gymnastics. Like she just, her body lines, her technique, everything is just, it looks seamless for her. And Maggie maybe comes at you with a bit more power, so it seems like there's a bit more aggression to it. Kyla, it's just, it's like watching her walk. Yeah. It's so easy for her.
That is exactly what I was trying to say. There's a difference. They're both at that same level, but they do it differently. And I respect both of them for that. But I do feel like Kyla just is so seamless about it. That was exactly what I was trying to say. Thank you, Taylor.
That's what I'm here for. That's why we have two hosts on these shows. Yep. I also would argue, and believe me, I'm sure people would come for me in this one, but I would argue that Maggie has had better pieces around her at Oklahoma than Kyla has had at UCLA. That is not in any way discrediting the talent at UCLA. I mean, these are two of the top three programs in the country. Okay, calm down. But I'm just saying, if you are the anchor of a lineup that has led to like an obvious high score you're Maggie Nichols, like it, you, not only can you perform as well as you do, but it also alleviates the pressure because the lineup ahead of you has performed so well. There have been times where UCLA has been shaky and Kyla has still been solid.
I think that's a really interesting point. And I think you're very right about kind of your own environment. You expect kind of that gymnastics to be up to par on every event with every single girl. UCLA, they, I feel like, are just a good time. Like they're just fun to watch. And I feel like they don't have, you expect it from OU. UCLA, you're not really sure every year. You know that they've got good talent, but not every year do they produce the way that they could. Kyla is very consistent. And I think that may be it. It's unique to see consistency from UCLA, and Kyla definitely brings that for them.
I completely agree with you. Want to move in to a bit of elite news before we break down our meet of the week. Obviously, with the official decision to postpone the Tokyo Olympics to 2021, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There are still so many decisions that have to be made in regards to that move. And the FIG committee and a bunch of execs have been in meetings and trying to get all the answers together so that there is no more uncertainty. The executive committee discussed on Thursday of last week the major issues raised by the change of dates and the impact of the current global health crisis on gymnastics events. Now, there is a well-done article. If you go to FIG_media on Twitter, they tweeted a link and it breaks down so many of the decisions that they've been discussing. But the main two that I want to bring to the forefront has been the qualification for the 2020 games. So at this point, it says that almost 75% of the Olympic places in gymnastics have already been allocated. Those will not be debunked. Obviously, if there's like an injury or someone withdraws, then fine. But if you have already qualified for the games, you cannot be replaced. Okay, so that's taken care of. And then you add this into the mix as well. This is the one that has gotten a whole lot of focus and discussion, the age eligibility. So as of last week, the executive committee has decided that the age eligibility criteria in the Olympic qualification rules must be amended in order to line up with Article 5.2 of the FIG technical regulations, specifying minimum age in the year of the competition for senior competitions and the Olympic Games. So all that gibberish to say 2005 born athletes are going to be eligible to compete in the 2021 Games. So we are adding to the crop of gymnasts that are pursuing that spot in the Olympics. You didn't think it could get more challenging to qualify for the Olympics, and they just made it more challenging.
Oh my gosh. Don't even get me started on just the whole process. I think, first of all, the fact that it's a four-man team is just a joke, considering now that more athletes have the opportunity to make the team. The girls that literally were like, I know, like, I cannot because of my age, and now that they have this window open, this is a whole new ballgame. And I know the Gymkernet is going to absolutely freak out because maybe their favorites are on the edge now. Maybe their favorites have to really vie for that spot, or maybe their favorites are the ones that weren't age eligible. Now they are. It's going to be a whole new process, a whole new ball game, and a lot of talent is going to be looked at. Have to be looked at now.
I just also think of some of the older girls who were coming back, and pushing another year is already incredibly taxing for them. I think of girls like Michaela Skinner, who were probably, you know, on the bubble, I would say, and it was already going to be challenging. She says, okay, I'm taking this one day at a time. Trinity Thomas told us the same thing. Now you bring in these young whippersnappers that have the same opportunity. And they're fresher and they're newer. Now, granted, they might not be as advanced in their skill, obviously, and they don't have the competition background, which we know is incredibly beneficial. But I think that you are really going to put some of these older gymnasts who stuck with this sport specifically for the 2020 Olympics. That is the only reason that they stuck with it this long. And now you're going to potentially compromise what they know can only be done now. These young girls, these 2005 borns, they're going to qualify for 2024, like three more years. So like to throw them in the mix of this is going to compromise the opportunity for so many of the older ones. But reading some of the responses on Twitter, you really get a good sense of both sides, I think. And I'm sure the committee felt like we can't make everyone happy, so we just got to do what we feel is in line with the rules.
It's just opening a whole, it's a genie in a bottle. You're opening up this bottle, and so many more doors are being opened. So many more mindsets are being affected. And honestly, I think about Simone in this, and because she doesn't need Tokyo, honestly, she can do it, and she's going to crush it. And because she's Simone, and she's going to show up and break more records, and she's doing it for herself. I mean, cause she can, but I wonder, does she want to do it? Is this going to be worth it to her? I'm very interested, because we all know Simone, she's going to speak her voice. She's going to tell how she feels. And I really respect that about her. But I think at some point she is going to come out with more of, you know, where she's at in this whole process with Tokyo being postponed. And I'll be very interested to kind of see what she decides or what she plans on telling the public.
I mean, the opinions of all of them are eventually going to come out, and I won't blame them if they aren't for it. It's not that they don't want to support the younger ones. They just feel like this is a whole different ballgame that none of us thought we would be subjected to, and now you are adding more and more difficulty, and this is already incredibly challenging for these athletes. Like, I just... how much more can you throw at them during this time? The fact that they were all supposed to be like packing for Tokyo right now, essentially. Right. And like now you're finding out the entire landscape of the team could be completely different. And you don't know where you're going to be a year from now in your skill, in your ability, in your life for some of these older girls. Like, it's just, it feels like a very, very difficult stage. My hope is that it doesn't affect the team's ability. And I know there's so much, the individual is most important, but this is going to be very challenging to have that team camaraderie if you have all these girls with varying opinions on how this should have been handled.
Absolutely. And then I think about Lori Hernandez too. I know obviously the young gymnasts, if anything, this is exciting for them. This is really exciting for them. But my heart breaks for the older ones, the ones who, like Lori, are trying to come back and make amends with kind of where she's at in the sport. And of course, Michaela, she has made so many big sacrifices and so many decisions trying to chase this dream and make this happen for her. And for gymnasts like that, this makes it super, super difficult. I think really just the bottom line is that this has just made it so much more complicated and making a sound decision. But on the bright side, I think it's also so good. We are so stacked with talent. I really am not sure how we could pick wrong, but it's going to be heartbreaking for someone one way or another. That's just unfortunately what we're dealing with.
And it was going to be like that regardless. Yeah. About 75% of the places have already been allocated. So not a ton of these young ones are going to find themselves in the fold. But even if it just boots one of the expected team members, like, that is going to be a very difficult pill for them to swallow. Well, before we get into our meat of the week and talk all about UCLA, I want to tell you guys once again about True Classic Tees. We love this sponsor, especially right now. They are awesome, good quality, versatile t-shirts, and that's basically what any of us are living in right now, so might as well support this business and utilize these t-shirts. They are soft, they hold up in the wash, you're going to be able to wear them when we get out of quarantine, so you definitely want to hit up True Classic Tees, especially since they're incredibly affordable. They are just $15, and now you can get them for even less. All you have to do is go to trueclassictees.com and use the code BLEAV for 20% off. So that's Believe, BLEAV, at trueclassictees.com. All right, let's talk about the Bruins, shall we? The meat of the week, like I said, was UCLA versus Utah. And I mean, we talked a lot about this one during season the week after it happened, because it was just one of those meets that everyone had to watch. And even if you just saw the score, you were like, I'm sorry, what? Both of these teams, Pac-12 teams, conference rivals, and they were tied at 3 in the NCAA rankings going into this one. The stage was set for a huge meet, and boy, they did not disappoint. So starting on vault, there were some interesting things to me about UCLA's lineup. Like, they started out with a Yurchenko full, mm-hmm. then they went to 1.5, then they went to, was that the vault that you performed? The front entry? Yes. Okay. So the front entry, handspring, vault into a front pike half twist. Then they went back to a full.
Yeah.
I found that weird. Pauline Tratz was in the 4 spot with a Yurchenko full, and I didn't find it very, I think if you're going to have a 995 start value in the 4 spot, it has to be like a Sierra from Florida. Like, it has to be the most beautiful, impressive 995 if you're putting it in between 210 start values. And I just didn't think Pauline's was very clean. It just wasn't very big. It didn't have much amplitude. That one kind of confused me why she was there in the lineup. And then Felicia and Kyla rounding out the lineup. Felicia, a 1.5, pretty big hop on the landing. And then Kyla. Literally, my note is Kyla... dude. Like, I just... 9-on-5 score for her and just perfect execution. But that's a really good example of what we were saying about Maggie versus Kyla, because Oklahoma's vault rotation, watching just their vault lineup, I was like, that's a national championship.
Absolutely.
Team.
Like, absolutely.
So of course Maggie's, you know, anchor beautiful stuck 1.5 is the exclamation point, but Kyla after, like, Kyla is the redeemer sometimes for UCLA, because I honestly, I wasn't very impressed with this vault lineup, but Kyla comes in and you're like, oh, there's near perfection. So overall, it wasn't huge. It didn't make my jaw drop. But meanwhile, Utah on bars, I was
crushed.
So immersed. So I think that was kind of where the meet was decided, which is crazy because it was the very beginning.
You nailed the nail on the head, truly. Because what everything you pointed out is what I have in my notes too. I think overall, honestly, I was very unimpressed with UCLA's vault rotation. They just seem they just seemed unpolished to me. They have the skills. I like that they I like that their vault lineup was unique. Obviously, I love to see a front handspring pike half. I have so much respect for girls who don't do your chinkos. So I and she did a great job of performing that vault. That was a very good front handspring vault.
Agreed.
The only other note I have is Felicia used to do such this massive, perfect double on vault, your Chenko double. It was so stinking good. I mean, it was up there with like Ashley Nadd and Alex McMurtry. And she was someone who really stood out on vault. So I'm kind of sad to see that she is doing a 1.5 now. But I didn't, you understand, because she does more in the lineups throughout the meet. So maybe it was more of like
right.
You know, doing what she has to do for her body. But I was sad to have seen that not be there anymore.
I completely agree with that. So by the end of that rotation, Utah was leading by 0.225. So then UCLA goes over to bars. They had two career highs, and this is where UCLA started to build for me.
Yeah.
It started off rocky. Felicia Hano fell, which is uncharacteristic for her. But then Savannah Koyman in the two spot, she started kind of shaky. And I was like, oh, crap. Like, that a tale as old as time when the leadoff falls and then the rest of the lineup like is just a little bit off. But I swear, like halfway through her routine, she kicked it into high gear. And it was like, you saw her aggression take over.
Yeah.
She got them right back on track, very aggressive dismount, and ended up with a 9-9.
Yeah.
And so from there, it was like the fall was completely in the past. So
yeah.
I really appreciated Savannah being able to kind of change the narrative for them so quickly. Nora Flatley, very unique routine. I think several of these girls put unique skills out there for UCLA, which I appreciate. Her dismount, full twisting layout on bars is like my favorite dismount, by the way. But she flew it out. It's so beautiful. Molly Korth could do it like no other. Love.
Oh my.
She flew it out a little bit far, but
yeah.
Very appealing, unique routine. Kaliani Steele had the most perfect handstand that I've ever seen. She stayed up there for like 5 seconds. Madison Koshin, you know, I was a little disappointed on her bar routine. She's got such ease in her release moves, but a bit of over rotation on her landing. So that kind of sent her backwards. And then Kyla, like the most gorgeous technique. And it would have been a 10 if it weren't for the small hop on the dismount. It was stunning. What else can you say about her?
Perfect. It was literally perfect. And Kathy Johnson said that too. If it weren't for the little hop, she was out of 10 for sure. And I want to go back to Madison, because I know her as a person. I know her outside of the gym. And she is one of those people who is the sweetest in the world. She wants the best for everyone. She wants to be where she is. She wants to be all there. And my heart breaks for her, because she's just such a genuine, real person. And obviously especially when you go from an elite career, that was very tough. I mean, she was unbelievably successful. There was a lot of injuries and a lot of things for her to overcome. And then you go to college kind of hoping and kind of hearing from other gymnasts that went from elite to college, and you watching their careers unfold, you're kind of hoping like, wow, like, you know, it's really working out for them. Like, that's what's going to happen to me. And you kind of hold that standard to yourself. And unfortunately, even if you're not elite, college doesn't always pan out for everyone the way that they planned.
Yeah.
It didn't pan out. I had a great career, but it still didn't pan out the way I had envisioned it. I wanted to be an all-arounder, and I really only competed 2 events my whole time there. So, I mean, it doesn't – life, if I've learned anything, life is you can't plan life. It'll happen, and you just got to be ready. She's doing the absolute best she can, but my heart breaks for her because I wanted like that happy ending for her. I wanted her to be happy and get in a good place and finish on a good note because she just has such a great heart. But I do think her injuries have just held her back from so many things, unfortunately. But again, overall on bars, I really thought they were unpolished. And I know I keep using that word, but I just feel like there were so many execution deductions everywhere. They just seemed a little bit sloppy to me. Maybe they're putting too much pressure on themselves, you know, especially in a high-strung meet against a school that's tied with them. Like, maybe it's just too much pressure, but overall, I was expecting more and cleaner form from them.
I can agree with that. I also think, as a spectator of the sport for several years, it's always interesting to me, the personality of a team kind of translates to what events they're better at.
Yeah.
I think for UCLA, they are kind of uninhibited. They are known for that like free spirit, performance driven, artistic gymnastics. Mm-hmm. I don't think the hard-nosed, disciplined technique execution first is necessarily their mantra. And to me, that translates to beam and floor, not bars and vault. And I think that's exactly what we saw in this meet.
Sure. I think that's a good point.
By the end of that rotation, Utah was leading by 0.125. So they definitely closed the gap. But honestly, I wasn't that impressed with Utah's vault either. So I came to this conclusion. We talked all season about how this year across the country seemed to be the year of the beam. Mm-hmm. Somehow, all these teams were just excelling on beam, and they were just finding their way to compete that event. I also think this year, because there are differences each season where teams thrive, and that goes based on the personnel that's on the team, where their skill set is, and also what the coaches are emphasizing. I mean, in what other sport do you have to be good at four freaking things?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, in basketball, you're good at basketball. You don't like do four separate things. So like, there's only so much that you can do. And so I think this year was not the year of the vault. I was not very impressed. Yeah. Even last week when we broke down Florida, like there really weren't any that really impressed me. I think there are stellar athletes and talent across the country. And it doesn't make sense why that amplitude and execution on vault was not seen more this season.
You're so right. Yeah. And I think that's a really good point that I've honestly never thought about. I kind of think of like gymnastics as gymnastics, and I don't think about like there's four different things that require different skill sets from you, and you're not always good at all of it. And that's very fair. And it's so true that, you know, each team is so different. They could be stacked with power one year. They could be stacked with flexibility and grace and better bar swingers one year. Or maybe they're both. And it's hard to get kind of a whole team of all of that. So maybe that's where their gap is this year.
Yeah, I really felt like vault was kind of lacking across the board this year, and I felt like that was the same in this meet as well. All right, so then we go into rotation three, and we are going to continue with those recaps. But first, want to tell you guys about another awesome sponsor for our show. Everyone knows LinkedIn. And funny story, actually, I found out about Believe Podcast Network and that they had some openings for a new host on LinkedIn. So this is actually a very good testimony for LinkedIn because it got me to this podcast network. So what do you know? We all know and love LinkedIn. It has become a tried and true method for job searchers, as well as employers looking for someone to fill a position. And the reality is the perfect hire can have an impact on your business for years to come. And the only place to find that perfect hire is on LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has over 675 million members worldwide. LinkedIn Jobs screens the candidates with the hard and soft skills that you are looking for so you can hire the right person fast. And honestly, in these times right now where we can't be doing in-person interviews and everyone's sitting at home trying to make the best use out of their time, using LinkedIn Jobs allows them to screen them for you and really help you narrow down the right candidate. So it's no wonder that a person is hired every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. That is just a crazy stat to me. So If you are looking for the right person for your business today, you have got to use LinkedIn Jobs. And right now they are giving us an opportunity that you can pay what you want, and they're going to give you the first $50 off, which is such a great deal. It's going to get your ad out to a lot of people for a really, really great deal. All you have to do is visit linkedin.com/team. So again, that's linkedin.com/team to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply. All right, heading into rotation three, UCLA on the beam, Utah on the floor. McKenna, why don't you start, go through kind of your notes for this one, and I'll add in if we differ.
Awesome. Well, first of all, Grace Glenn, this was the routine where she got that 10-0. We've talked about that before on the podcast. You know, her being able to walk, it's huge. For her to open that gate, kind of be the pioneer of, hey, it doesn't matter where you are in the lineup, a 10 is a 10 or a high score is a high score. But I want to break that down her routine a little bit more just because it was obviously it was a 10-0. But the oversplit in her series is just
like what?
I don't know. It's absolutely amazing. In her wildest dreams, like her in her layout step out, she literally reaches over 180 degrees, which is just mind-blowing. Yeah. Again, she was just really the pioneer for all leadoffs alike, regardless of the event. It was really, if anyone was to get a 10 first up, rightfully so, Grace Glenn. So obviously they started off really strong on beam. Then we went on to Samantha Sakti. She had an impressive series of a standing layout. She was a little bit wobbly, but overall I thought she had an impressive skill set. Nora Flatley, third up, very hard series. She went front aerial to back pike. I thought the back pike was a little sloppy. There is a bit of a knee bend there. I loved her turn to her jump series. That was very unique. And then her artistry and her leaps are just so beautiful. You can tell her and Rachel Gowie trained at the same gym just with how sharp but elegant they are. Their gym obviously pays very much attention to detail, and that's carried with them in their collegiate careers. Then we have Nikki Shapiro, fourth up. She actually rejoined the team after leaving the sport altogether in 2016, which is absolutely nuts. Not only did she come back onto the team, she was able to make the team again, pick up her gymnastics, and make the lineup, y'all. That is huge. That is not only just like rejoin the team and here she is, but she's competing. So that made me really, really happy to see. She has a crazy, interesting story. And it just, I was really proud of her to be able to kind of assess where she was in her life, knew that she needed to take a step back and then rejoined. That could be very, very hard, especially when you've made it this far. And she had a great routine. She went 9-9. Then we had Felicia Hanna, who we've seen a lot of in this meet. I was very impressed overall just with how much and where she is in the lineup. She had a great series, very difficult and aggressive. She performed it very well. Great dismount. The only thing I'd say, she was a little iffy on those leaps and jumps. She went 9.825. And then we had Kyla. I literally wrote in my notes drooling because where do you begin? She had a huge switch ring in her routine, which if you're unfamiliar with what that is, it is a switch leap. So you're going to kick one leg in front, you're going to switch it, and now you've switched legs. You hit a 180 degree split. That's a switch leap. Now a switch ring is the same thing. You start with that leg, you switch it from behind you. You're now in a split, but as your legs are reaching up to hit that 180, that back leg keeps going. It bends in the back and you drop your head back. So not only is it more difficult, but you are essentially losing sight of the beam altogether. You are hovering over the beam.
Yep.
You're throwing your head back. And then when you're done with your skill, you have to pull your whole body back down to the beam, pull that head back. So that just goes to show where how she knows her body, her air awareness. She's just incredible. She had a very cool, unique, full turn. Her leg was extended behind her. I just love to see different unique gymnastics. It can get very repetitive and boring. Overall, she's just so stinking good, but I really enjoyed their beam performances. I thought again, form issues. I think we've seen that throughout the whole meet at this point, but, I think most of the form issues were in the middle of the lineup, but I think they've done a really good job of stacking their lineup the way that they have, because it kind of blended seamlessly with how Grace started and how Kyla finished it. It kind of makes you forget about that in between. You kind of just think, oh, well, they had a very hit beam rotation, and you don't really think about those little things. But I do think execution-wise, they could be much better.
I agree with you. It was so fun to watch because it wasn't typical. Every single athlete in this lineup had something unique in their routine. And it goes back to what we were saying a couple weeks ago during these recaps. The really great teams, they don't stop with what's required of them. They go the extra mile. And I agree there were some form things here and there. But as far as what UCLA pushes themselves to do on the beam, I give so much credit for. I mean, basically all my notes were just the unique skills that stood out. Even as small as Grace Glenn's heel stretch to the front of her freaking head. Like, they add this flair that makes it so intriguing and so fun to watch. Once again, they kind of closed the gap on that one. By the end of that rotation, Utah was leading by 0.075. So each rotation, they were like chipping away at the score discrepancy. By that point, Beam was my favorite rotation of UCLA.
Agreed.
So then we move on to floor. And honestly, if I'm Utah, I'm shaking in my boots or shaking in my leotard because you know what UCLA can do on floor. They are the number one team on floor for a reason. You're also in Pauley Pavilion where you know the audience gets so involved in the floor routines. I would have been worried that our lead would have been compromised, but Utah slayed the beam in the midst of an incredible floor performance by UCLA. So McKenna, run through this lineup for me. Tell me what stood out to you.
Okay. Well, they start off with Nora Flatley. I thought she had such a very cool, unique routine. She was very sharp, but like in robotic, but she was still elegant, still classic. Nora, yep. I think it's something about Chow's gym, which is where she trained. Also Rachel Gowie trained. And there's a couple other gymnasts who are making their way to the NCAA world from that gym. But you can just tell, and not only from Chaz, but other gyms alike throughout the nation in college, you can always tell like where they came from, especially if they're on, you know, from the same team, their gymnastics looks the same. So, but I thought her and Rachel Gowie from last week on Florida on floor too. I kind of felt like their technique very much translated into college. I feel like Nora is such a goofball. If you guys know anything about her, if you watch her, she's just so fun on the sidelines. She's just such a goofy, fun person. But when she is competing, she's very serious and very methodical. And I think it's really unique to see kind of how she puts that together. But I did think her passes were a little bit boring. And I know that kind of sounds weird, a weird way to describe it. But I guess I just expect more from her. And I'm not saying she's underwhelming by any means, but usually elites have a lot to pick from. They have a big skill vocabulary. She was the lead off. I thought she did a great job leading off. She went 9.925. I wasn't amazed. I loved her routine, but it was very decent. It was very good. Then we went on to Chloe Lashbrook. Very fun music. I thought her leaps were a little funky, but she had pretty good tumbling. It was clean and great control on her landings, which is always a plus, always something you need to see in the floor lineup. And when a meet is this close, you don't want to give away any little deductions. Then we have Nia Dennis. She kind of was a viral sensation. I don't know if it's like just because the LA environment or whatever, but their routines over there are always going viral. Nia Dennis has broken the internet a couple times with her Beyonce themed routine. And I am obsessed with her opening pass. It is so cool, so different and unique, very difficult. She had a solid middle pass and a great Rudy to finish off the routine. She went 9.975. Then we have Gracie Kramer. She has also kind of broken the internet here. I feel like the gym internet has really just kind of taken to love her. She's just someone who is very deserving, someone who kind of just does her job. And I think the gym internet kind of noticed that, like, hey, she's really good. Like, we'd like to see more from her. She deserves this. And I feel like because everyone's been pulling for her, like, things have just come naturally her way. And she's known to be an incredible performer, and it was so fun to watch. But she also has really huge, clean, floaty tumbling. It's very, like, she's very patient with her skills, but she, like, it just bounds the way that she tumbles. It's just so dynamic and so patient. Her leaps were a little short, but her floor routine did give me chills, honestly, and she went 9.975.
Yeah.
Then we have Felicia Hano. She's always been a great tumbler. I remember training at national team camps with her. She was someone who I felt like I could relate to in a sense, just because she could throw a lot of different tumbling passes on floor. And we kind of had a similar routine. So anyway, she's always been a really great tumbler. She had a great double layout. I loved her dance part on the floor. It was so fun. She did this like swimmy fishy thing. And it was so, I loved her music. She was, she's just fun to watch too. I thought her double pike, her last pass was a little whippy, but she did have great landings. She went 9.95. And then we have Kyla Ross, the boss. She went whip to double tuck, which is actually something that she used to do in Elite. She did a whip to, I want to say, double Ray-Ban. I really don't remember. I just remember her doing a whip to something. And just the fact that she does a whip, I was like, okay, that's
ridiculous. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's really good to see her be doing that again. I really like that pass on her. And then I literally wrote in my notes, can Kyla please give a leap clinic? Because, oh my God.
They're beautiful.
So good. So good. I mean, anything she does is literally so beautiful. But always awesome from her. She went 9.975. Honestly, I feel like overall, their floor scores were very overscored. I really, really thought the judges were trying to just pull it out for them. But they did say after Kyla or after Utah got the win and it was announced and it was official, that Kyla would have had to get more than a 10 for them to win, which is obviously impossible. So there was nothing that the judges could have done. I mean, UCLA did a great job. They had great performances. Again, I just think there were so many form issues. And I would like to see more difficulty in their tumbling, but they do dance. Yep. Incredibly well. They were really fun to watch in terms of performances. I mean, that's the kind of performance you want to see in the world of college gymnastics, and they easily take the cake on that.
This floor performance was the best example that we could find of the impact of both your home audience, but also very good choreography. I do not want to take away from that, because I think each individual routine, and UCLA is known for doing this. It was Miss Val, and they have continued this trend. It is its own mini movie. Each athlete has a character. That's why, like, Gracie Kramer's is so intriguing, because it's kind of like a creepy feel.
Like a nice thing.
Yeah, and then Felicia Hano's is more of like a fiesta, and like there's always a unique identity to their floor routine, matching with the adrenaline associated from the crowd in Poly Pavilion. Yeah. Because I wrote down their scores: 9.925, 9.9, 9.975, 9.95, 9.975, and I think two of those were deserved.
Yes, agreed, 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 agreed. Obviously, Kyla, and I thought Nia's was very, very good.
Yep, that's exactly who I thought. Nonetheless, Utah got the win, which I do think was the correct result. They won 198.075 to 198.025. And I agree with you. I think if you're getting over a 198, your execution and your technique should be better than what I saw in this one. But nonetheless, incredibly entertaining, as UCLA always is. Very fun, but overall, I do think there were plenty of loose ends that UCLA would have needed to tighten up heading into postseason.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, so the next team for us to discuss, it should be fresh on everyone's minds, because the number four team by the end of season was Utah. So we figured, since this was such an impressive performance, it was also a road meet, high intensity, we're going to talk Utah versus UCLA again. This meet was just one of the special ones. So why not analyze both teams involved in the meet? So same meet, but next week we will talk all about Utah. So if you need to watch it again as a refresher, pay attention to Utah. That's what we will be doing. And we will break down their performance. Spoiler alert, we all know the ending, but we will break down all of their performance. That was their highest score of the season. So we feel like that really gives the best insight into what that team was capable of this past season. So make sure you watch along with us and be ready to talk about the Utes next week. Well, we are going to bring in our very, very, very special guest, Carly Patterson. But before we do that, gotta tell you guys about Simply Safe. Now, with home security, there's two ways you can go about protecting your home. You can wait weeks for a technician to do a messy install that costs a fortune. Also, like, no one's trying to let strangers into their house right now, okay? We're all trying to avoid coronavirus. Am I right? Or you can get Simply Safe, the 2-time winner of CNET Editor's Choice Award. Now, I personally have a security system in my house, and it gives me so much peace of mind, especially right now when everyone is kind of home all the time. Simply Safe blankets your entire home in safety. They have outdoor cameras, doorbell alerts, so you're going to know if anyone is approaching your house at any given time. They have entry, motion, and glass break sensors. They basically have it all. They have got you covered. And it's just 50 cents a day with no contracts. I mean, like, it keeps getting better. It's ridiculous. All you have to do is go to simplysafe.com/team, and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. So you can give this thing a go while we're all at home. You can play around with it, see if you like it. And if not, you're going to get your money back. So hello. You've got absolutely nothing to lose. So go now and be sure to go to simplysafe.com/team. That's simplysafe.com/team. All right, everybody, it's the moment we know you have been waiting for. McKenna and I are so incredibly excited to be joined by the 2004 Olympic all-around champion. Everyone, welcome Carly Patterson Caldwell. Carly, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you guys for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So obviously you and Mary Lou Retton have had a relationship given your similar accolades. I've seen interviews you guys have done together, but when did you meet McKenna?
I think it was probably at one of the gymnastics championships at some point a long time ago. Yeah.
That sounds right. My mom would take her whole little crew to like any of the championships the reunions y'all would all have. So yeah, I'm sure that's where we first met. You made some shirts a long time ago, and you gave a few to me and my sisters, and we wore a shirt to, it was black with pink on it. We wore oh my gosh, we were obsessed with that shirt. We felt so cool and cute. And I think it was one of the first pictures I posted on my Instagram, actually. I don't think it's there anymore, but it's definitely on Facebook.
Oh my gosh.
That's hilarious. Yes, I remember that now.
You've done some such cool things like post-gymnastics life, like really just trying to figure out who you are outside of gymnastics. And like, that's kind of what I'm going through right now. So I have so much respect for you and just how you kind of branched out and kind of found your own way, because it's hard and it's scary. And so just... That's been
helpful
for me to kind of
see. Well, thank you. I know I feel like it's something that, you know, not only gymnasts go through, or it could just be at whatever point in your life, where you just have these moments where maybe one chapter's over and you're starting a new one. And, you know, especially for us gymnasts, you know, maybe finishing a college career or your gymnastics career, whatever it may be. And then you're like, well, that was my passion and my love. And that was all I've known and life for so long that, well, what's now and what's next? What's my next passion going to be? And that is not, you know, always an easy question to answer. Most of the time it's not at all. And I definitely had a period where I was really down, you know, because life had just completely done a 180 and totally changed. And I was asking myself, what is next? And, you know, what do you do after you accomplish your biggest life goal at 16 years old and you still have your entire rest of your life in front of you? And I definitely went through a period of just trying to figure things out and trying new things. And, you know, a couple of those things were, you know, one of the things was singing. I thought, you know what, I've won an Olympic gold medal. Like, why not go after a Grammy now? Because how hard can that be? singing, you know, singing was something that I always loved doing, and like grew up watching my dad sing in church and in a band. He still sings in the band to this day. And I thought, well, you know, I've never had time to do anything other than gymnastics. So why not try this now? You know, ended up finding out that wasn't going to be my route and my true passion, and figured out I love singing, but I didn't want that life and that, you know, whole everything else that goes with it. But I'm glad I tried it. And everything that I've done after, post Olympics has been a learning experience and and been part of just my journey. And I've grown and learned from everything that I've tried and stepped out and done. And, you know, whether things worked out in it or didn't, I wouldn't change anything because, like I said, I learned from it, grew from it. And it kind of all led me to, you know, where I am now and today.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's kind of what I'm figuring out too is, you know, I think the biggest thing is not having those regrets. Like, well, what if I try? I mean, the worst case, I think maybe it's a gymnast thing. I know I'm terrified of failure and rejection, and that holds me back from doing so many things. But I'm also learning that holding on to that feeling and being held back by fear is a worse feeling than trying something and it not working out. So that it's been hard for me to kind of work through that. So it's really good to hear kind of where you've been in your own path and kind of figuring things out for yourself of, okay, I know I like this. I'm going to give this a try. If it doesn't work out, it's going to lead me to something else and having that faith. So thank you for sharing that, because I know that's hitting home for me for sure.
Well, yeah, and I love that you are learning that and know that at such a young age too, and it's such a beginning stage of after your gymnastics career, because I think, like you said, there are so many people that are scared to step out and try something, and you'll never know if you don't, and you will always have that regret. So I'm glad that you are just going for things and saying yes to things, because the right things that are put in your life and that you're supposed to be in the moment that you're supposed to be in. I think I feel like as I've gotten older, I'm fully so much more aware now of whatever's supposed to work out and you're supposed to be in whatever stage in life, like that's where you're going to be. And I think God will put those things in your path.
I couldn't agree with you guys more. And I think that is such a beautiful sentiment, because the reality is, like you said, McKenna, that being crippled by fear is something that so many people can resonate with. And it's the very reason that they stop themselves from going that extra mile. And I think we've heard from so many of our guests on this show that gymnasts, you've spent so long trying to attain perfection that it starts to seep into other aspects of your life. And so I think that's something that so many can resonate with. But the truth is, those trial and error moments in your life are likely the ones that you're going to learn the most from. So I think that's a huge
testament,
and certainly something that the two of you are doing well. I do want to ask you, Carly, in light of what's going on right now, you're talking about being crippled by fear. I know so many gymnasts across the country right now are kind of wrestling with different emotions, given everything that's happening, obviously with the postponements of the Olympics. And I saw a post that you put on Instagram, actually, saying that your heart goes out to all the gymnasts in light of this decision, and how 04 was kind of your one shot. And had that been tampered with, your dream may not have become a reality. So I just want to hear, kind of your response when you heard the news, and maybe a bit of advice for the athletes that are being affected by this.
Yeah. Like you said, 04 was my one shot. I truly kind of believe that, because I was just having a lot of back pain, leading up to the Olympics. And it was something I was having to fight through that, I didn't tell anyone. It was just really me and my coach that knew. And it was just getting worse and worse. And, shortly after the Olympics, the doctor was like, you need to retire. If you want to worry about your quality of life after, I can't promise you what that's going to look like if you keep going. So I just don't think I don't know if I would have, for like today's Olympic postponement, I don't know if I would have been able to make it another year. So I feel like I can really empathize with them in that way of looking at it, those people that were just holding on for a few more months type of thing, and they're really at their peak and they're ready to go, and they're just mentally, they've been looking forward to it for 4 years, and it's finally almost here to, then say, okay, it's postponed a whole year. And I bet that, can completely flip someone's mindset when you're almost there and you're focused by this point, right? Like you are just almost probably to your peak position and peak performance level, and you're ready to go. So I definitely, feel for all the athletes right now that are having to kind of flip that mindset and be like, okay, well, we're now a year out. And, you know, it's just one of those things that at the same time, I was trying to look at the positive of it, of being like, okay, you know, hopefully for those athletes that are really healthy and continue to keep going, you know, hopefully it's just a year of working even harder, getting even better, even stronger, and, you know, see what happens in a year and where, you know, how they were able to grow and get better. But at the same time, I was glad that at least it didn't get completely canceled, because
right.
I really could not have imagined, you know, if that would have been the news for myself personally. I would have just been absolutely crushed and devastated, you know, when that's something that you're working your whole life towards. So I think, once again, I was trying to look at it in the most positive ways of like, okay, at least it wasn't canceled totally. And hopefully all of these athletes can just hold out one more year and, you know, stay mentally and physically strong right now.
Glass half full. I like it.
You know, I'm trying.
To kind of change routes, I really want to talk about a little bit about your skill set. You were a powerhouse of a gymnast. I loved watching you. I loved watching Shawn Johnson, just gymnasts that I could relate to, because I was no Lofty Lucan by any means. but I want to talk specifically about your Patterson dismount. Tell me a little bit about that skill and how that kind of came about, because that is like so hard.
Yeah. Well, I've kind of always had a tumbling dismount. I remember growing up in, you know, those first like optional levels, like I never did a round off dismount. I always did like a back handspring, double back growing up. And then we kind of switched it at some point to doing round off, back handspring, double back. And that was my dismount for a long time. And I had a long time double Arabian pass on floor, and then also had a, you know, a single standing Arabian in my beam routine for a long time. So Arabians, I was pretty good at them. And I think we just noticed that. And, you know, one day my coach was like, let's just start trying like round up back handspring Arabian timers. Like, let's just see where this can go, you know, both my coaches. And, that's kind of how it started in it all kind of happened pretty quickly, actually. It was one of those things where, like I said, I think when you're tumbling off the beam, it's a little bit easier to get that power and momentum going. Mm-hmm. And I had been so used to doing Arabians and double Arabians that it wasn't like a huge change for me to just start doing a round up back handspring double Arabian off the beam. I do, you know, remember first starting and like thinking, okay, this is a little bit scary or a lot scary. This seems a little crazy, but, you know, as we trained it, it just got more and more comfortable. And it was like, all right, this is now my dismount. And realizing that nobody had ever done it before. And that, you know, I could possibly get it named after me, at like the world championships. And so, yeah, that was a really cool moment for me there, and, you know, doing it successfully and then knowing it was going to be called the Patterson and go into the Code of Points. That was kind of one of those goals that I always had, but it was kind of in the back of my mind. It was like, well, I mean, you know, you kind of have to think of something and come up with something kind of cool and crazy, you know, that nobody's done. And it wasn't one of those like forefront goals that we were always like trying to like think of something. It just happened.
Yeah.
And then in turn, I was like, oh, like what a cool part in, you know, to have as my gymnastics career. Like I now have a skill named after me. So
that's so true, because any gymnast, I feel like, who has had a skill named after them, like it's always just like a really cool plus. Like it's never real. That's right. Never really cool front, I think, because there's so many things to like accomplish that are more right in front of you. And then having a skill named after you, like, yeah, that's really cool. So
I feel like the thing too about my dismount that's pretty neat is that it still even like stands the test of time of difficulty today, even in, you know, this crazy difficulty era that we are in, like still not something that you see anyone really doing. So that makes it kind of extra cool.
That's a really good point. I really didn't think about that. You're so right about that. It still is up to par with where we're at, where Simone's at, is honestly, if we're just going to say it, it's Simone and her crazy amount of difficulty. Right.
Right. Well, I'm sure she'd have no problem doing that dismount anyways, but she has an even cooler dismount.
So. Well, obviously after that, you know, historic moment in the 04 games and everything that you accomplished in your career, then, you know, you get out of the sport and you kind of switch gears and you're kind of more of a spectator of sorts, but you obviously will always have that tie to the sport. So I would love to get your input, you know, since your career ended, what have you seen in terms of the evolution of the sport in both skill and in the culture?
Yeah, you know, it was funny because I guess 16 years ago this year we'll have been the time passed since my Olympics, and everything was just totally different at that point. You know, like that's the Olympics where after that, everything kind of started changing and going the way that it is now. But it's crazy just the difference that it has taken, just the changes that have been made since then, to just really be able to like chock full your routines of like the hardest tricks and skills. And, I'm honestly glad that I got to compete in the time that I did, because I don't know, gymnastics seems like it has just gotten so much harder and crazier since then. And so I'm just glad I didn't have to get to do it now, because I wouldn't stack up. I wouldn't last.
Circling back to 04 games, if you can look back, what is probably the best moment or the most memorable? Obviously, winning was a huge deal, but is there something else that really stuck out to you that really kind of gave you those butterfly feelings too?
Gosh, yes. Other than the winning moment, you know, for sure. I think just, you know, that next day being on the Today Show and like, that very next morning and finally getting to, like, I got to see my mom. Like, I got to see her for a minute after I won that night, but had to go straight to do like an interview with Bob Costas. And then it was like bedtime. And then, you know, first thing in the morning, like a couple hours later, it was like, all right, you're getting up to go do Today's Show. And so it was just so good to like sit with her and get to see her and just kind of like let things start sinking in a little bit, like what I had done. And then, you know, also, your mom had Skyped in or Zoomed in, whatever it was called 16 years ago, on the Today Show. And so we kind of like did a little interview together, which was really cool. And yeah, I think, you know, my mom, so something really cool. My mom and her three sisters came to, watch the Olympics, and they all like shacked up together at, you know, a hotel, and just they were there. And they had always said when I was growing up, which, you know, none of us ever thought that would happen and I'd actually go to the Olympics and I'd actually win an Olympic gold medal. But they'd always said, like, you know, knowing that I was a serious gymnast still, even in Louisiana, they were like, we will like sell our house to go if you go to the Olympics someday. Like, we, whatever we have to do, we will get there and we will make it. And they did. They kept that promise. And so I think to see them all right after I won, and like that, you know, news came up and my name flashed to the number one spot, and like looking back at them in the audience waving the American flag and all just like tears streaming down their face. That was definitely such a cool and like comforting moment to have that sense of home with you and in the arena right then when a moment like that in your life happened.
Oh, holy chills. Wow.
Yeah.
That is so special.
I don't think I've ever told that story either, guys. I think that's like, I remember different details. There's like something will hit me different. Sure. You know, when I talk about these types of things, and I don't think I've ever actually answered with that and remembered like what a cool moment that was. So exclusive. Wow.
Yes. We'll take it.
Boom.
Well, Carly, thank you so much for joining us. McKenna and I were so pumped to get the chance to talk to you. And you're such a light. You were during your sport. You continue to be after the fact. So thank you very much for taking some time to chat with us.
Well, thank you guys. This was actually super fun. I love this kind of titty chat talk. Felt like we were just girlfriends. So
yes, we love that. All right, everybody. Well, that wraps it up for us this week on Chalk Talk. As always, McKenna and I greatly appreciate you guys listening, following along with us each and every week. We always want to hear from you guys, so make sure you are DMing us or reaching out to us if you have any talking points you want us to cover. Also, make sure you rewatch the meet of the week, UCLA versus Utah, and be ready to talk all about Utah next week. Everyone, stay safe, stay healthy, stay inside, stay sane, stay happy. I'm out.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.